Good morning, everyone. Today is the 7th of July, 2020. Christ gave himself a ransom for many. Christ gave himself a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man came to give his life, a ransom for many. That's why he came. And I'm sure glad he did. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9:13-14. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Isaiah 53:7. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. John 10:15-18. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Leviticus 17:11. Hebrews 9:22. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Revelation 5:8-9. There's nothing more precious than to dwell upon the atonement of Jesus Christ. I was talking with a friend of mine last night how much I love the book of Hebrews, because it shows perfectly the atonement of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at a few of those passages this morning in Hebrews that have been such a mainstay for me down through the years, and I hope a mainstay for you as well. You know, in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, we read that the 17th verse, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the 7th chapter of Hebrews, we read in the 25th verse, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For he did once when he offered up himself. Hebrews 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Well, this perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary is our only hope. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hebrews 13:12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. O precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, his sacrifice on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary is our surety. It's a sure foundation. It is a sure covenant of grace. The fact that we were predestinated unto adoption, we've been chosen in him from the foundation of the world, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we have been given a promise by God himself that all that the Father hath given him will come to him, and all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. He will make us willing in the day of his power, Psalm 104, 3 and 4. Well, I'm glad to know that he's done all the work on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. We were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. John 1:13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. John 6, we are told that by Jesus Christ himself, that this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. verse 63 of John 6, we read, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." Verse 65, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. John 6:65. Well, Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, manifest in the flesh, and came in time. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us, his people, his elect. All of his elect has laid on him the iniquity of all of his people. I was an alien and death reigned within, sitting in darkness, walking in sin. Then Christ eternal my Lord did bestow. Jesus then washed me whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, that beautiful snow. Wonderful story, can it be so? Tell me again as onward I go. Jesus has washed me whiter than snow. In this old nature, there's nothing that's good. I can't be perfect, try as I would. But there's one thing I can trust in, I know. Jesus has washed me whiter than snow. You know, the Bible is not just another book. It is God-breathed, the living Word of God. In it can be found the words of eternal life, whether we believe it or not, is the question at hand. The Bible says we are born and conceived in sin, and that all men died in Adam. And all who are made alive in Christ. The Bible does not say that faith, belief, or repentance saves you. But it does say that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And it does say that all that the Father hath given him will come to him. And all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. The Bible says the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Christ also says you must be born again. So the Bible says the first thing that must happen to a sinner that is dead in their trespasses and sin is that he must be born again. And then he receives the faith to believe, then Christ died for his sins, and then he will readily confess that he is a sinner in need of a Savior. He will then trust in the completed work of Jesus Christ for him on Calvary as the perfect sacrifice for his sins. When this happens, the sinner becomes a new creature in Christ. He is no longer under condemnation and has received forgiveness on the merits of God's gift to him. And he now realizes that he was foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. Isn't that beautiful? To know what Christ has done for his people, and more importantly, what he's done for us individually. We're marching to Zion. And this march is led by God's dear Son. This pilgrimage is not to a physical place, but we're looking for the city, the new Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven prepared for the bride, this Zion's a place to eternally abide. Many try to make Zion a physical place. In the city of old Jerusalem, where rejection of Christ is an utter disgrace. But I'm marching to Zion, a spiritual place. Well, I want to end today's time that we've had together this morning with this thought. The Lord loves his children forever. And everlasting love means his love he will never sever. He's with us through the ups and downs of our life, and is with us amidst all the strife. Whatever his children go through, he's right there with them, aiding, supporting, and sustaining them. He intercedes for us before his Father, too. When we don't know how to pray, he's praying for me and you. So the next time you're in a trial and a major test, Just cry out to Jesus and he will do the rest. We couldn't even cry out to him if we were not his daughters and sons, for they are adopted into his family. This work is already done. May the good Lord be with you today in a special way, is my prayer. And if you get the chance, I would encourage you to read the 9th and 10th chapters of Hebrews. May the good Lord be with you this day, is my prayer. God bless.